Hi, welcome to Unscripted with Elaine Sullivan and Hannah Liversidge. Today we are talking about how to keep your head screwed on during working from home. This one, we are going to be sharing some tips and ideas from our experiences of working from home and how you can hopefully feel a little bit better whilst you're doing it, because a lot of us are having to do so.
Here again. Yay.
I know. We're here, we're clear. It's Friday.
Yeah, it's I think it's good to, you know, with Friday we're at the end of the week, ready to go in the weekend, although there doesn't seem to be much difference between a Monday through Friday and a Saturday and Sunday. But it's odd being at home, because you don't get that break.
Well, for me, it's kind of, I think the only break that is different for me is that I don't go and see friends now, because obviously I've worked from home for so long, this is kind of the norm for me. But my partner has switched how he works, because he's an essential worker, apparently, construction. So he's Monday through Friday now, whereas he used to be Monday with Tuesdays off and then working Saturdays. So I used to be able to sneak in some work on a Saturday. So that's a bit different. But yeah, I think it's trying to really add that routine of still feeling like it's a working week.
I think probably a lot of people are struggling with that. I mean, I know that the work that I'm doing now is you know, far more intermittent by choice. And I know that I've got a regularity. I get up and I exercise Monday through Friday with my mum. I do a Zoom call. We do the good old Joe Wicks and we do some balance exercises. So that gives me a morning routine, which I'm really, really grateful for, because there are days that I will get up and I can't be bothered. And I know I have to do it, because otherwise I let my mum down. But you're trying to keep routine when you haven't got some work, or when you have got work and there's nobody sitting over your shoulder making sure that you do it. I mean, that's a challenge, but that's a challenge that you've had for a long, long time, because this working for yourself isn't just new, or working at home isn't just new to you from the what we have to do from the COVID. I mean, how do you make sure that you've got that organization and that routine in your life?
Well, yeah, you're right. I've been working from home since I was 17, and I was working from home for my dad. I was also laboring, so I was doing roofing work as well, so I got to go outside into the wee world. But yeah, so 13, 14 years I've worked for myself, run my own business, this business, Amethyst PA, and it's always a steep learning curve. I had for a couple of years a feeling of, oh, I need to get outside, so I would go to a client's office twice a week. Mm-hmm. And I got to see the stresses of commuting, which I feel like
that was down in London, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in Central, so that was Canary Wharf. So I was lucky that wasn't like 6 a.m. that was get there for 12. So, but you'd see people still running around, rushing, freaking out that they can't do their work because they're on the underground. So for me, I've always had that side of things where I've just always worked from home. So recently, in the last few years, I've realized how important a routine really is to your sanity. I think I'd already pre-organized my brain into that before lockdown. Now, that's not to say I haven't slightly lost my marbles occasionally.
I think we're all looking for our own marbles at the moment.
Right, where have they gone? They are in all the corners of the rooms, and I just can't catch up to them.
The joys of working from home. I'm on a call.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But that is joy of working from home. If you're working from home with someone in the house with you, it's sometimes much nicer in terms of if you have separate spaces, but you can convene for lunch, or you can chat, or you can make each other coffee. I think for me, I found I'm quite an extroverted introvert, so I need that time on my own. I think I would go a little bit kooky and worrisome if I was working in an office with lots of people.
But how do you satisfy that extrovert part of you? Because I know that you do enjoy other people's company, and how's that fitting in for you, you know, around the work and the fact that, you know, again, another lockdown and we're not supposed to go anywhere. We exercise with one other. I know you exercise with your dog, Misha. How do you satisfy that extrovert part of you?
I think being open to picking up the phone. I think it's something as a virtual assistant, I have quite a few clients. So that is different to sustaining my need for like social interaction, but I only need minimal social interaction to top up my tank. So things like, if I feel like I need to have a chat with somebody, I'll send a text message or I'll pick up the phone and speak to someone. And it's having a few people in your group that you know you can just do that with, and not feeling embarrassed or worried about, oh, but what if they're busy? Knowing that you can do that and showing them that they could probably do the same to you, I think is quite important.
Yeah, because I think that you know, not being embarrassed and thinking about, you know, whether they're busy. I think I go through that. You know, is this the right point in time to phone? You know, what if they're doing this? What if they're on a call? What if this has happened? What if that's a, and then you go through all of that and you come out the other side of those conversations, those internal conversations, thinking, well, actually, maybe I'll call them later. And yet you're still there with the sense of being, again, alone, on your own, or whatever. You know, is there anything that you do to stop those mental conversations, or don't you, you know, are you just one of those that don't have those mental conversations with yourself?
I wish. No, I still have all of those conversations. I have lots of mind monkeys. Like, why would they want to talk with me? Like, even just when we were setting up this podcast, I was like, why would anyone want to have these conversations with me, or want to have, like, even listen to these conversations? And then you've just got to do it. I think one thing that I've seen when I have had a phone call with somebody, like one of my friends has just gone from franchising into now running his own business, and having those calls when either one of us was feeling a little bit like, this is weird, because we're both, you know, sole traders and both of our partners work full-time jobs, so they're out with their colleagues. I think just being able to just go, you know what, I'd appreciate it if he'd call me, or the other way around, is where cut off that what if.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah. I'm sort of trying to think, you know, about my own situation and sort of trying to mirror with yours. Yeah, it's lovely that you have those multiple of clients as well. But how do you do your balancing act? Because it I would have thought, okay, Mishka is going to get you out. She's going to need, you know, be walked. Mishka being the dog, and you know, they don't think about things like that. So you know, you have to take her out. But how do you get yourself organized and motivated on days when, you know, like everybody, you know, you must have days that you just go, yeah, can't be bothered today, but you've got your clients. How do you keep yourself going in those situations?
So that's a really good question. And for me, answering honestly, I have not felt very well this week. And I am in the lucky position that I work with people that I like, that trust me, that know me. So I know I'm a morning person. I will get the essential stuff done in the morning. That's how I work. That's how I compute. I do a dog walk at 6:30 in the morning. I get back at 7:30, computer's on, get my important like admin, sort out the emails, do the regular stuff by about 9:15. Anything that comes in, I do it. And then at least I then know if I don't feel great and I just need to sit on the sofa and have an extended lunch break or, you know, go for another walk, I feel like I've still done stuff. So I know when I am most productive. And also I can tell my clients that I'm not feeling great. I'll be back in an hour.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't think that's something that anyone who's employed can do that, but I think it's,
they could try.
Yes. But I think also with the in quotes flexible working that's kind of been forced upon companies that originally weren't doing it, is they might now be seeing, oh, actually, our team is more productive now, which has been proven. If you work from home or you have flexible working, it's been proven that you are more productive, your team is more productive. But you've also, as an employer, got to speak with them and, you know, have those conversations. Don't force a 1 hour meeting every day with your team unless you know, desperately required. I don't know anyone that would need that. And see, like, when are you most productive? Are you a morning person? Are you an evening person? Are you homeschooling? Can't even imagine homeschooling.
My heart goes out to every parent that is trying to school from home, and how parents that, you know, let's say that there's two parents there and they're both full-time workers and they're both trying to work from home, yeah, and a couple of children that would normally be out at school. I don't know how people are doing that sort of juggling at the moment.
I don't know. I honestly think firstly, superheroes. Secondly, it's making you realize that essential workers, you know, are teachers, childminders, mm-hmm, you know, all of that. But also, on the flip side, I am hearing from parents, once they've got through the stress of every day, this is just a lot, they're also saying, I'm getting to spend a lot more time with my kids. And if you can ever pull a silver lining from a situation, you have to try and step back and see what can be done. Like, I've heard from one of my clients, she has a newborn. She has childcare on 3 days of the week, which is with the parents, the in-laws. So she can really get to work, head down, work really hard. And that's not even schooling. Or, you know, just trying to filter out the day to being able to achieve accomplishable tasks. Mm. But I honestly don't know how they're doing it.
No. I mean, I used to love it when, you know, my daughter, my grandson were young, and being able to, you know, do some fun schooling, you know, learning to add up by, you know, drawing out what would you call it, tic-tac-toe or hopscotch,
yeah,
and you know, using hopscotch to do learning and adding and things like that. Mm. But that was something that I used to enjoy doing, and my grandson used to love doing it, but it wasn't a necessity every day. And being able to add energy and enthusiasm. I mean, you know, teachers and, you know, what they manage to do and how they achieve it with, you know, 25, 30 kids in the classroom. And then the parents having to sort of take on without training or without, you know, understanding how that curriculum is, you know, passed on to them. I, as I say, you've said hats off to them.
And a lot of people are reaching burnout because of it, because they're now taking on 2, 3, 4 extra roles, because,
yes,
you know, some lovely women that I know, they had children in care, childcare of, yep, schooling. Now they're home, they had full-time jobs that they're now having to do at home. They're having to do the housework because they did actually have a cleaner, or they had someone who looked after the care of the home. They're now having to do that because cleaners aren't allowed in the house. So that's now 3 roles,
yes,
in the home.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. And I think actually being kind to yourself is something that I've learned over the years has to be done. Because whether I have a child or no child, admittedly, I have much less put upon me. But you have to put out a bit of a routine, because I know when we're children, we need that routine to be able to function. But you seem to just have gone, well, now I'm working from home. That means I work from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. and nothing. And, you know, take a step back, have 20-minute breaks here and there. Yeah. I mean, you only work, isn't it, for like 50 or 40 minutes at a time, actually?
Yeah, they, because technique that I've heard of is the Pomodoro technique, which is chunking what you're doing into small manageable chunks and just doing maybe 20 minutes of it or 40 minutes, but making sure you've got a gap in between that. And I've heard that that can work very, very well, particularly if, you know, let's chunk the kids learning time up in small chunks, just so that you can have the cup of coffee or maybe even the sneaky glass of wine. But, you know, let me go back to what you were saying about the self-care, though, because that I think probably is even more important. And from your perspective of being home, you've said that, you know, this week you're not feeling great, but from your perspective of being home, what do you do to make sure that you maintain that self-care for yourself? Because I would have thought that possibly you could get very, very busy and, you know, start at 6:30 to walk the dog and be working on until midnight if you didn't, you know, make sure that you were looking after yourself. So what do you do?
So I map out what I need. So I know I need nature, which is why I start my day with nature, which is either a jog or a walk or something like that. You know, even if it's half an hour, just getting outside. I have 4 or 5 parks nearby that I can easily walk into. So that's one thing. I then sit down, do some of my work, and then at 11 o'clock, it's in my diary. In my diary is spin session or workout session. So for me, I get on the bike for 20 minutes, or we go for a jog if we haven't done a jog in the morning. It's in my diary. It's a meeting with myself. No one can book it. I have an online calendar. It can't, no, it's mine. So that's something that I've done. I also then have a lunch mapped out in my diary. So again, no one can book it. It is, you need to eat, sort it out. So, so having things in your diary to make sure that you're finishing by certain times or that you're doing certain things that give you joy. And if you're someone that, you know, is quite a high type A, you'll probably find that you're just continually going until you're suddenly like crashing and burning. And I think I've stopped myself before I've got to that point because I have these important meetings with myself.
I love that concept. When you said about a meeting with myself, it just made me feel really sort of warm inside. It was a visceral thing that I had then, which really epitomize that self-love and looking after yourself, and that's something that I'm gonna start doing. You know, I'm not anywhere near as busy as you, but I do find that my day goes by and I haven't actually thought of how important it should be for me to think about me. I'm the one that has done it many times of working far too hard and crash and burn. And that's certainly something that I fail to do. And so I'm going to take that from you and you know, make sure that I do look after myself a little bit more. Was it something that just came to you naturally, or did you have to sit and think about what was important in your life?
I think, one, I have a mum who's a mentor, so she's probably mentioned it a couple of times, and I've seen her go through working 80-hour weeks and how hard that was, and that was one thing to discover that was really important for me is I saw how stressed she got. She loved her job, and I saw that as an area of success. You know, constantly being busy, running off your feet, earning lots of money and working in a certain industry. And then I saw how it affected her, and she honestly had told me how it affected her, of like, you know, this can't continue. Mm-hmm. I think for you, you mentioned a very similar situation where you were, you know, running at 1,000 miles an hour and you loved it for a certain while, and then your body just kind of said, this is enough.
Big time.
I think that is where just being self-employed for my whole life has enabled me to carve out that sort of lifestyle. I think my business enables me to do what I like with whom I like and when I like. So if there are tasks that I need to do on a Saturday, I get to choose to do them on a Saturday rather than, oh crap, I've got to work until 7 p.m. because my boss says I have to. So it's kind of taking it in from other people. And also, I think when I moved to Wales, I was basically forced to stop. There was no network connection. There was no internet in that house. So I had to drive 10 minutes to my parents to get internet. And then, you know, I had to leave at a certain point to go and have my dinner and have my own time, which meant my clients either got used to me finishing at 5 because that's when I would leave, or they'd always expected me to finish at 5 and were sending messages because they work in the evenings, they're night owls. I still get messages sometimes at different times of day, but they all have kind of gentleman's agreement, but we're not gentlemen. A lady's agreement, a gentleman's agreement, a business handshake.
An understanding
that they're night owls. They're not sending it to me for me to reply straight away.
No.
That's another thing that a lot of us kind of, with our instant responses and everything coming in through technology, is turn on do not disturb. You can do it on your phone. You can actually have a setting that I am from, I think it's from 9 p.m. until 7 a.m. my phone's on do not disturb.
That's good. That's really good.
I was finding I was replying. I had it that was very...
Joe, I've known you quite a while. Yes, I know you would reply.
Exactly. And that is something I have to really physically work really hard on not to do. Because if it does come through, because even if it is do not disturb, I might be on the internet doing fun things and then see something come through. And it is something I'm always working on to kind of go, no, you don't have to reply to this right now. Mm. No one's going to die if a Canva template doesn't get done until tomorrow, you know?
So you said about self-care and meetings with yourself and making sure that there's an importance of you in your life, and the rigidity of making sure that after a certain time work has stopped. So there's the division between your work life and your private life. And from what I'm hearing from you, you're a lot more firm with yourself on that sort of thing.
Especially since I used to be, And I think actually lockdown has done great wonders for that, because I pick up my partner from work and I have to leave my house at 4:45 so I can pick him up by 5:30.
Right.
And so, I can't do any work while I'm in the car.
No. So another benefit to lockdown then?
Yep.
That's sort of a couple of things. Is there anything else that you find really helps you, either in, you know, we're talking about introvert, extrovert, either in that or being able to manage your day when you are predominantly in the house by yourself and don't have that interaction? Is there anything else that you personally find, you know, helpful in that situation?
Having good coffee. Having good coffee. I think that's a little treat in the day of just acknowledging that my brain needs that coffee break. Around about 3 o'clock, I start to go, yep, coffee's needed. Nice little thing. Cuddling Mishka as and when. She sits very close to me when I'm at my desk. She has a chair right next to me, so I can see her and do that. Exercise, most definitely. I'm really missing climbing. We used to go climbing every Monday, myself and my friends. That was an afternoon thing, and that's still in my diary. So as and when they're open again, that will be done. But I think kind of thinking about like how I work, I'm quite a butterfly brain, so I get lots of things thrown at me throughout the day that then enables me to go, oh, shiny thing. And I've understood that that's what I like. There are some people that I know that love doing the same thing throughout the day, get that done, and then new project the next day. Whereas I've begun to understand what I like. And I think realizing that in your own business or in your own world is always really beneficial. But also I like my work. I think we had a discussion about this the other day when it was like, I don't have any hobbies because I have like exercise. I like spinning. I like walking the dog, but really I love my business. So I'm okay with, if I want to, I can do some things, but I also had to realize that I don't chase the money. So for example, like I like working with people I like. I'm not working to earn millions, and I don't feel pressured then that way. And it's understanding your value, I think. If you're a business owner, you need to understand that you don't have 80 hours in a week to commit to a business. You'll just end up hating it.
Yeah. So that choice of client, I mean, the client obviously chooses you to help them in their business, but the choice of client, it sounds to me that it comes from you as well, to make sure that you're working with people that align with you and that you get joy out of it as well. Is that a good explanation?
Yeah, I think we attract people that we like anyway. So I think we're very lucky that I know you and I probably have seen the same thing, is that we attract people that are very similar to us. And especially in my working life, I have a certain personalities that I perhaps wouldn't work well with, probably wouldn't be attracted to working with me anyway. Whereas if you're employed, or if if you're selling products or something, you don't always get that luxury. So it's also just realizing that I am in a very lucky position to be able to do that. So did you ever work from home when you were in, employment?
Over the last 3 or 4 years, I have done intermittent work for people and have worked from home, and it's worked very, very well. I mean, one client that I had, the three partners, one was in Japan, one was in Singapore, one was in the US of A. We had some developers that were based in Russia. And so that, working from home, it didn't matter. I could have been positioned anywhere on the planet, providing I was, able to be awake for the calls that we have to have. And that was all I needed. And I found that was actually really enjoyable. Again, it was something that I really enjoyed doing, and it was something that, it was giving me pleasure, and I could see how others were benefiting from it. Prior to that, when I was working in the corporate world, very, very rarely did I ever work from home. It was, I was on the IT techie side. Working from home wasn't something that was the norm. If you were a pure manager or whatever, that was sometimes available to you, but working in an office was the de facto norm, and that wasn't a choice to come home. But I know even that's changed now, because my husband's he works for a large company that provides a lot of internet services. So ever since last February, he's been working from home, and it functions brilliantly for them. But they do have a rigidity of hours, so he still has to start at 8 and finish at 5. But lunch is sort of flexible, but then it would have been flexible if he was in the office. So the company is still not, I was going to use the word controlling, but the company still has expectations as to when to work and when not to work. So he does have that organization, that organization of his day, whether or not, I think for him that works perfectly because he likes routine and organization, that is in his psyche. But I think if he didn't have that, he might struggle. And that's why I was interested in having the conversation with you, because your day, you know, I from what I gather from, you know, the types of clients that you have, every day is different. There's something different to do. And it's sort of how do you apply yourself in those situations? And I've not had that opportunity to work in that way before. You know, all credit, you know, caps off to you.
I find it so funny because, you know, as a virtual assistant, I should have everything down to the minute detail and, you know, every minute should be maximized. And I'll let you in on a secret. There are certain things I have to do every day or every month, and I know when those are, and those are in my diary. But then the ad hoc stuff, which is what I love about what I do, and I generally provide ad hoc services rather than here is your bulk stuff. And there are a lot of VAs that do like block work that is every day, this time till this time they have someone. That just doesn't gel with my personality. So I get to say, I have one client who asks me at the end of the week, every week, what's your availability next week? I can check in my diary, know what I need to do, know that there will probably be 1 to 2 to 3 hours of random, oh crap, from certain clients. And then I can tell them how much time I have with a little bit of leeway for myself. So I think for me, that's how I plan my weeks, is I have regular stuff in the diary that I know is coming up. And I know what's needed of me every day. And then I am open to certain amounts of timing throughout the days that is for the ad hoc stuff. But that's something that I've planned for myself. Whereas in certain industries, yeah, you have to be doing the same thing every day and you need to plan it and you need to know what you're doing. I think that's really important to know what type of person you are and work into that. Because I'd be rubbish as an accountant, not least because I'm crap with numbers and I don't know all the tax rules, but it is kind of, you know, every day, whether or not it's, you know, if it's in a big corporation, there are things you have to do every single day and it's the same thing. And I'd probably be someone that's not great at that. And I'm okay with that.
But you are really great at what you do. As I say, caps off, all credit. I know that you run and have run for how many years is it? How old's your business now?
14 years.
14 years.
I've been doing this for 14 years. I think it's been officially like running since 2009.
Whoa. So you're not a new kid on the block. So you're obviously doing something right. And I think, you know, from what you've said, I've got a few things that I need to pick up on, you know, a little bit of self-love. I love the idea of meetings with me. I love the idea that you're choosing to do stuff that is if it's joyous and fun for you, so that you're not thinking, oh goodness, I've got to get up and do that again today. I love the way that you're making sure that you're looking after yourself by way of eating and by way of exercise. I love the way that you bring that into your work, and it just strikes me as the whole package.
Well, I think, you know, as you know, back before Wales, it was probably very different in terms of where I was personally. And then this has generally come into play over the last like 4 or 5 years of kind of understanding the importance of what is happiness to me and what is success to me. Because I think success to people are different at different stages in your life, let alone to different individuals. And it's something that I have been quite hard on myself on. You know, there's a roller coaster of, you know, in all honesty, Elaine, there have been moments where I've been like, well, screw this, I'm going to be employed. Everyone gets sick pay and you get holiday pay and it's all so much easier. And then I sit back and I go, yeah, but you also got to walk your dog at 11:45 today because you wanted to. And you got to work from the sofa rather than in an office and not cough on people when you don't. Yes. So there's pros and cons to it all. And I think it can be a really lonely journey. So I think the important thing is to be open to having honest conversations with people who you may feel are just clients and kind of going, for me, it's personal, it's not business. So a lot of my clients, I would feel, are friends. And I don't know if that's one-sided. That's my monkey brain jumping in and going, well, you're just, you know.
I suspect, knowing you, that it is not one-sided. You are such a generous of spirit person. And that's what attracts you to the clients, and I think you do a sterling job.
Thank
a sterling you. Job.
Thank you very much. That's about me, I feel.
that's yeah, yep. Well, you can cut it there then.
Yeah, cut. Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's been tricky. I think it's been tricky for a lot of people, but I've met with a couple of people that have either pivoted their businesses and made so much of it, or have finally been seeing their partners that work from home, seeing how much happier they are without commuting and not spending so much money on Starbucks coffees 4 times a day, you know, try and find the little things, especially during these times, that are really good.
Yeah. There's so many things that we could talk about that's negative about this, but there are some positives in there. If you look for them, I think a lot of people are finding those little bits of positive, and it's that's keeping us going, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. Thanks, Elaine.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Unscripted with Elaine Sullivan and Hannah Liversidge. We're really excited to now be on iTunes as well as Spotify and all your favourite podcast players. So if you get a chance, we'd really appreciate it if you can leave a little quick review. Let us know any of the subjects you'd like to listen to by emailing me, which is hannah@amethystpa.co.uk. So see you next time, and thank you for listening.